Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I want to invite you to a free event next Thursday night, March 10th. I'll be moderating a debate called First Principles on the Proper Role of Government, kind of the central issue being debated big time in the country right now. Miles Rappaport from Demos and Yaron Brook from the Ayn Rand Institute will be the debaters. It's at 6 p.m. on March 10th at NYU's Skirball Center, and tickets are free, but you need to RSVP. So go to our politics website, it's freecountry.org, to claim your seat. And while you're at It's a Free Country, you can see our bloggers already debating the proper role of government in advance of the event. The two debaters who will be there, Yaron and Miles, are also doing blog posts that you can read in advance. And you can take our proper role of government poll, and we're getting some interesting responses. 20 yes or no questions on the proper role of government according to you, all at itsafreecountry.org, and hope to see you out at Skirball next Thursday night. Well, Catherine Rosman says that in the coupling of any two busy people, a marital ledger inevitably develops. The debts and credits on that ledger, according to Rosman, are things like weekend free time in exchange for overtime solo parenting duty, or a solo yoga class in exchange for a weekend visit to the in-laws. If you're married with children, you probably know what she's talking about and have something to say about managing your own relationship ledger. Catherine Rosman will be writing a new biweekly column in the Wall Street Journal called Family Finances about the currency of marriage and family, which is not just about money. Catherine, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And in your inaugural column, you say that when you argue with your husband, quote, it's usually about currency, which is about far more than dollars. Define what you mean by currency.
Well, the editors at WSJ Sunday asked me if I wanted to write a first-person column about money matters in the home and the interplay that my husband and I have sort of arguing and discussing those matters. And the more I thought about it, I said, we don't fight about money. We fight about all sorts of things that resemble a marketplace in a way. Maybe I've worked at the Wall Street Journal too long, but there are all sorts of commodities separate from money that really take a lot of our attention, such as you said, time, sleep, exercise, all sorts of responsibility. And, you know, I think when you are caught up in a very busy life, you want to appreciate it all, of course. And these are the good problems to have, as I write. But it's a lot to manage. And my husband and I, we barter. I mean, we are, it's like a open bazaar.
It's about an intricate system of checks and balances, you wrote. And listeners, how about your own open bazaar? And you can spell bizarre either way you want. What are the debts and credits on your own relationship ledger? And do you think there's something wrong with keeping a spoken or unspoken ledger in a relationship? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And you don't even have to be married or even cohabiting necessarily to participate in this. Give us a call and tell us how you make sure you're each pulling equal weight in the relationship or carrying your half of the barter bargain, or even if it matters if you're pulling equal weight. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for the new Wall Street Journal columnist, Catherine Rosman. You say, Catherine, that a marital ledger inevitably develops, but then you also say that there are some things you do for the ledger and some things you do for love.
That's
How
true.
Can you tell the difference?
Well, the example I give in the column is there was a weekend not too long ago where it had just been a crazy weekend. Everybody had been sick, and you, after having the long work week, you sort of follow up on all the household chores you need to do. And I did laundry all weekend and tried to spend as much time with my kids as I could. And Sunday night, I had the crushing pit in my stomach of knowing I had a story due the next morning that I hadn't started to write. And I just absolutely burst into tears and grabbed my husband and said, I'm never going to be able to do it. This is the one that's going to end my career. And he said, tell me about the story. And we talked it through. And after an hour, I had calmed down and had a real sense of what I needed to write. And I sat down and did it. That night, there was a big snowstorm, as we've had a lot of those. And we live outside the city and have a car that needs to be scraped of snow when there are such big storms. And we started to have this regular sort of who's going to scrape the car situation. And in sort of discussing who had done what and who should have to scrape the car, which was not a huge discussion, but he never once said, I sat up with you for an hour and talked about your story, because those aren't the ledger things. Those are the things that a husband and wife do for each other out of love.
That's really nice and generous and kind of philosophical almost to be able to separate those two.
Yeah, well, we have our moments.
By the way, I think I misstated the title of your column. It's called Checks and Balances.
That's right.
I won't say the wrong one again.
That's okay.
It's Catherine Rosman's new column in the Wall Street Journal about family finances of all kinds called Checks and Balances. On Facebook, we asked, what are the debts and credits in your relationship ledger, knowing that you were coming in today?
Okay.
And here are some of the things that we got. Paul wrote, I cook, she does the dishes, I do the produce shopping, she brings the wine. They don't have kids. But most people didn't like the premise of the ledger. People have been posting things like Kelly here says, we both have our duties, but I think keeping debits and credits only gets you in trouble in the long term. Life is not a scorecard. Betsy says, do people really hold grudges like these? My husband and I just do what needs to be done and don't make mental lists of what we deserve in exchange or what the other one owes us. Tom says, we have no debts and no credits. We have shared responsibilities and courtesies and kindnesses freely given and gratefully received.
Well,
Tom needs some truth serum.
You know, we should all live up to the example Tom sets for us. I've gotten so much email. I mean, the column, I think, is going to be a bit of a lightning rod with a good number of people having a big issue with the idea of the ledger and saying that my marriage is doomed and they can't believe I've made it as long as I have. And a lot of other people completely identifying. And we don't have grudges, and we don't actually commit any of this to paper, though. In my research, I found a couple couples who actually do keep a bank book, and I will write about them at some point. But I think inevitably these discussions start to come up where I say, can I go to yoga? It's an hour and a half class. It's 20 minutes on either side. It's a big chunk of time on the weekend. And there is some either internal or explicit dialogue about, well, sure, do you mind when you come back from yoga if I go hit some tennis balls,
right,
or something, and it happens.
Emily says, by the way, on our Facebook page, I agree with Kelly and Betsy. When we went for our required premarital counseling, our minister advised us to never keep score, because when you do, somebody always loses. So it's you against religion.
It is. Well, in many ways. And you know, I agree. I just think that some things happen inevitably despite our best intentions. And this is a forum to talk about that.
Elle in Westchester. Hi, Elle. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me say what I want to say.
Sure.
It just reminded me my own experience when I tried. Someone gave me an idea to give my husband as a birthday gift, like a book of coupons of little things that don't cost money, like, you know, wake up late or go for 2 hours of your own time. And then what made me realize, like, how do I, what can be counted as a gift and what can be counted as something, well, you know, just, you know, reasonable to expect that.
Well, I think that the idea of the coupon is really interesting, and there is value to these things. There is value to getting to sleep in late when you work 5 days a week and have young kids. There's absolute value to it. And it's a complicated thing. You certainly don't put a money value to it, but just because something doesn't have an actual dollars and cents value doesn't mean that it doesn't have value of its very own in your relationship.
That could be your next project, you know, Catherine. You could start the relationship section of Groupon.
I should. That would be huge.
Elle, did you do it at all? Did you put any particular thing in a coupon ever?
Yes, I did. Well, I tried to, you know, then to keep it really humorous and keep it about letting him know how much I know about him in this coupon book. So it's more like a card and a gift in the same.
It's very sweet.
It is very sweet. Thank you very much. Ruben in Connecticut, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ruben.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, an interesting show. I guess my comment is that it's never equal. It's never 50-50. I guess your host was mentioning that before, that, you know, someone always loses. And, you know, I think that that's the case a lot of times if you're trying to keep the score exactly right. But it does open the line of communications, and I think it's healthy to discuss things from time to time.
Thank you. And we don't have a great connection, so I'm going to run. Now, some people have already complained. You've done what, one column so far?
One column.
And some people have already complained that you didn't talk about sex in the column.
That's true.
And that that's a critical part of the ledger in the relationship. Are you going to breach that subject?
Probably. You know, pending internal discussion at home. But, yeah, I mean, sex is definitely a part of the ledger. As one person said in an email, within a marriage, it's a form of legal prostitution. That was very funny. You know, all of these things that you know, make one person happy at a particular time and perhaps isn't exactly what another person wants at that same time. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. But yeah, I mean, a lot of discussion about all of these things.
I feel bad for your husband, by the way. Another media spouse becomes grist for the mill.
Right. Well, I had
like all those comedians' wives.
Yeah. I wrote a memoir called If You Knew Susie, and he had approval before I turned in the book of how I portrayed our marriage, which was accurately, but I gave him the okay, and he had the comfort of knowing that I would handle this the same way. So he has absolute veto power.
And you can write about other couples' stories too.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to the sex part and things like that, you can, you know, wait till a good story
comes
in.
That's where I'll report it.
Self-preservation. Have you seen this YouTube video? We're going to play a clip that's going around. It's a little girl who insists she will not get married until she has a job. Here it is.
I don't want to marry someone if I don't have a job first. Man comes asking me, running out. No, I don't want to marry you yet. I want to have a job. And if he says, I will not come back to you, fine, I'll find a different man. This is my life. You better stop caring. I'm not going to do anything for you until I have my job. I don't care if I marry you. I don't care if I marry another man. I care if I do something that's special. I don't want to marry someone if I don't have a job first.
Love it.
So first of all, it's adorable and funny, which is why it's gotten over 4 million views. But it really seems like she's repeating something that she's heard at home or on TV or some kind of messaging about being a self-sufficient woman.
Well, you know, when you have a career and a family and you've got two people who have careers and families, you know, my husband and I each have lives outside of the house in addition to the life we have inside. And we have demands on our time and things that are important to us that really have nothing to do with each other. And that becomes a big part of what we're talking about here.
And it's another thing to explore, which is how often do the big negotiations, like whether to work, are hashed out before marriage, maybe not at age 4.
Right. Well, you know, and for plenty of people, you know, it's an economic necessity. So whatever discussions you have are sort of moot anyway. But definitely whose career gets the sort of family focus at what time is very much a part of the ledger, very, very much, certainly for us. And I know for other people, too, from just the hundreds of letters I've gotten from this column.
Let's get one more caller in. Helen in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Helen.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think that the ledger is one that has to be kept over the life of a marriage. It can't be toted up at the end of every day or the end of every Saturday morning, because there are days, weeks, or even years when one partner is more needy than the other one, when one has to step up to the plate more than the other one, and then that reverses at a different point in the marriage. So it's really hard to count it up by I get to play tennis now and you get to go, you know, golf later.
I think you're right. I mean, I think that there are micro and macro issues to this. I think you're absolutely right. My mom was sick at the beginning of our marriage, and that took up my entire focus for 2.5 years. And I expected my husband to have it be one of, if not his primary responsibility, also to just be constantly thinking about what I need, what my mom needs. And then after my mom had passed away and we sort of regrouped, I really tried to dedicate myself to him and our marriage in a different way because he had been there for me in the way I needed him to.
A minute left, and thank you, Helen. You have 2 kids. Do you think they're conscious that childcare and parenting duties take up a big part of the negative side of the ledger?
You know, there are certain things that our kids know drive us crazy. My son is impossible to get to sleep, and we don't openly argue over who has to do it in front of him, but we do encourage a certain self-sufficiency and say, you know, I don't want to sit with you while you fall asleep. I haven't had dinner. I'm tired, too.
How old is he?
He's 5.
Uh-huh.
So you're
beyond the Ferberization stage.
Yeah, though I've got a 2-year-old who could use some sleeping lessons herself. But you know, certainly we're not in front of our kids saying, you know, this is such a pain. And we love being parents. It's all, like I say, these are the good problems. But it doesn't mean that it's not exhausting and that there aren't a heap of things that need to be divvied out.
Catherine Rosman's new Every Other Sunday column for the Wall Street Journal is called Checks and Balances, about the checks and balances within a family. You have a new one coming. Now, there is no Wall Street Journal on Sunday. So is this online?
Well, it's online, but there's an insert called the Wall Street Journal Sunday that's in 7.5 million newspapers around the country.
Uh-huh.
And here in New York, it's in Newsday. But it's online as well, and we'll have one not this Sunday, but the following.
Let's do this again.
I'd love that. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay tuned.